following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd, host of The Herd. Everybody knows going to the post office is a hassle. Fighting traffic, finding parking, waiting in line, brutal, waste of time. I've got a solution, Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can print real U.S. postage using your own computer and printer. No hardware to buy, nothing to rent. You can print postage for all your letters and packages right from your desk. It's like having a post office in your home or office. I've been recommending Stamps.com to everybody I know. Right now, Stamps.com has a special offer, no risk trial, plus a $100 bonus offer, including $45 in free postage. That's more free postage if you use my name, Colin. Try Stamps.com today for a no risk trial, $100 bonus offer. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the radio microphone top of the homepage. Type in my name, Colin, Stamps.com, and be sure to use my name, Colin.
Previously on the Doug and Daddy Show.
If you try to pull what you did yesterday and tap me on the shin guard again, we will go.
So you can guess what happened. So despite Daddy being gone for unknown reasons, the Doug and Daddy Show rolls on. It's just disappointing that we'll miss Daddy's gems like...
That China must have a hell of a bunch of treats. When I dream about the moonlight of the Wabash, my Indiana home. You only put honey on biscuits from Kentucky Fried Chicken. What else do you use honey for? We're going to Oregon, then we're going to Washington, then we're going down to California. Yeah!
So today we'll depend on our fearless leader, Doug Duda.
But why would that be the only thing you put out there?
Well, I'm more than willing to help generate conversation.
Really? You have no facts. Don't give me some BS.
Well, okay then. It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to a jam-packed Tuesday on the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Yes, Daddy just said, I'm going to take care of this myself. I'm going to tell you where he's at today. This was unplanned, and he's on the road. In fact, Merrick, could you call him? I want to see how close he is. Call Tony, and I want to see how close he is. He is headed to Dallas to kick some ass, all right? That's all there is to it. We're tired of it. It's sick. We're rooting. You know, that's fine. You can pour all that's already coming in to my phone, to my text, to the station. Yeah, fine. Pour on Dallas. And keep sending those suggestions of what I can do if Pittsburgh wins the Super Bowl, because that's not going to happen either. But I just can't. I mean, you're plus three in the first, what, quarter and a half of the ball game last night, and you're up 13-7. My God. And then Dez Bryant, he gets you out of that funk, punt return, 20-7. Tony Romo gets hurt, and it's like you've never played a down of professional football in your life. Dallas, I mean, you're still going to root for him. It's still painful. It's still painful. I mean, it's got to be what it's like to be a, you know, that's got to be what it feels like to be a Colorado fan. Maybe you pay attention, but it's painful every day. 888-455-ESPN. The Debt Popper inbox is always Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com will talk Missouri football today. Bo Pelini's press conference is coming your way just after 11:30. Aurora head football coach Randy Hubert, the two-time defending champions, and he's also been named a head coach for next summer's Shrine Bowl. He's going to join us on the program as well today. Troutman's Tuesday trivia. But he is on the road. He is barreling his machine south. It is topped out. He is trying to get to Dallas as quickly as he can to kick somebody right in the face. Big Daddy, how far are you?
Well, I'm about 30 miles from Wichita right now. But, yes, I'm stuck in traffic, so I'm not going as fast as I would like. By the way, Douglas, when did Irwin Sweeney and Grigsby start playing defensive back for the Dallas Cowboys?
Wasn't their defense supposed to be good? Wasn't their offense supposed to be good? Wasn't they supposed to be able to overcome the coaching? What happened?
Set up for the Super Bowl run. This was the team that Jerry built. This is the team. We gave up two first-round draft picks for Roy Williams, who 2 weeks ago catches with two touchdowns, and you think, oh, maybe he's better than we thought he was. No, he's not. No, we don't have anybody to get any of the receivers the ball. The best chance we got is to somehow make them punt because Dez Bryant is electrifying in the punt return game. That's the only positive the Cowboys have going for them.
I mean, how can you be +3 in the turnovers in a quarter and a half and only be up 13-7? Disgusting.
Well, thank God Bueller made the two field goals, something he hadn't done all year.
Well, and good news, Tony. As much as the Indianapolis Colts don't want Niles Paul, obviously the Cowboys will get right after him because he'll fit right in with their receiving core.
Oh, yeah, the year just got longer. And then you think, you know, when you saw the Tony Romo first go down, you didn't really think, Douglas. You did not think that. I mean, I think, okay, maybe a slight shoulder separation, something, but it's his non-throwing shoulder. He should be able to come back in. Then he goes to the locker room, and then the word comes out, and then it's over. But for every bit of hope that we held until last night, it's gone. It's done. There's no chance to make the playoffs. The year is over.
What do we do now? If you're a Dallas Cowboy fan, what do you do the rest of the season? I mean, you're going to keep one eye on it, but what do you do now to keep – I mean, do you root for another team? Do you gamble heavily? I mean, your fantasy football teams are already adjusted. I mean, and yes, I had Romo as one of my quarterbacks. What do you do now if you're a Dallas Cowboy fan? I mean, there's still a lot. There's 10 games left.
Well, obviously, we've got to pick another team. Obviously, I think in the West, we would have picked San Francisco going into the year, so that's shot.
Let's leave it up to the listeners. What team should we start rooting for? What team should Doug and Daddy, both Cowboy fans, start rooting for? And no, it won't be Pittsburgh. Email us, call us, do whatever you want. Your friend John says Daddy's on his way to be a huge midget in Jerry's World Big Top Circus. So you're going to Jerry's World and you're going to be a midget in the circus?
No, my hands are too big to be a carny. And I don't smell like cabbage. So, no, I'm not going to be a midget in the circus. No,
you got
I will
all
not
your
be
teeth?
Part of the circus. I don't know what I'm doing.
You got all your teeth?
I do have all my teeth. I jerked two of them out last night watching the game. But other than that, yeah, I've got everything but two.
Daddy on his way to Dallas to get to the bottom of this and to help Jerry fix things. And Roy Williams did say after the game, maybe John Kitna, what was the exact quote, might be our knight in shining armor, and we'll win 10 games, we'll go 11-5 and take it from there.
And I might become the starting tight end opposite Whitten in the next week, too. The whole deal, maybe Stephen McGee's the answer, Doug. I have not been sold on Tony Romo. You know that. I was the one. You know, a year ago I said we've got to fall back in the draft. We've got to get up in the draft and get Sam Bradford to become a quarterback and get rid of Romo. Maybe Stephen McGee is the answer.
Dude, it's John Kitna. And secondly, Tony Romo, he's not the problem. He's throwing for over 300 and even 400 yards a game. They don't have any. They don't evidently have any faith in their running game. I mean, Romo's not the problem. Yeah, he will throw a pick, but so does everybody else. Do you know who I'm going to throw this out. We got Troutman's Tuesday trivia coming up. You know which NFC quarterback has thrown the least interceptions this year?
Oh.
Let me give you a hint. He was going to come to Nebraska.
He was going to come to Nebraska. I don't know the answer right off the top of my head.
Josh Freeman, Tampa Bay.
Oh, really?
Can you believe Tampa Bay, the Rams, all these teams? I don't know. Daddy, just have a safe trip. Any final thoughts as you get ready? Because I'm not sure. You may not be here tomorrow either if you're in prison.
No, you know what, Douglas? I go back to Tony Romo. He may throw for over 300 yards, and he may throw for some touchdown passes. But I'm telling you right now, the biggest quality in the NFL is being a leader. And that is something he has not done since he's been there. You've got to lead your team, and you've got to win football games. And putting W's up the most important thing, and he has not done that since he's been a Cowboys starting quarterback.
You know, we're already starting to get some emails into the Doug and Daddy show about which teams we should follow. It's not which ones we should follow. It's which ones we should not, so we don't. They must think we're Mike Greenberg and put a hex on him. We've officially been told not to root for the Chiefs from the birthday boy. And finally, Daddy, I'm throwing this out because it's like NASCAR. We just don't talk about it. Do you know that the NBA season starts tonight?
Yeah, I actually do know that because we've got a buddy of ours that called me this morning and told me he likes the Atlanta Hawks and the Chicago Bulls to be in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Is that the same one who had Brock Lesnar over the weekend?
Yes, that's the same one that follows that sport, too.
Daddy, we got to get out of here. Gabe DeArmond is going to be standing by. So safe trip. Stay out of jail. And let us know how that conversation with Jerry Jones goes.
Hey, Kirk Heinrich is a starting small forward for the Washington Wizards, too.
Thank you for more. See, that's exactly what we needed Daddy for, more useful blabbering. Bye. That's Big Daddy on his way to Dallas to straighten things out with our 1-5 Cowboys. We're going to take a break. Bo Pelini's press conference, Gabe DeArmond, PowerMizzou.com, Aurora head football coach Randy Hubert, Troutman's Tuesday trivia, all still to come.
I'm in the gym with some guys all 30 and older, asking them about the Charger Pack from Complete Nutrition.
My name's Brian. I'm 34. The Charger Pack helped me lose about 15 pounds. Really, I have more stamina than I did 5 years ago.
For guys 30 and older, the Charger Pack recharges your natural testosterone levels back to when you were young and peaking physically. The Charger Pack increases energy levels, and you'll lose fat around your midsection for a stronger core.
Charger Night, I've been taking that now for 6 months, and I've never slept better. I think just a combination of that Charger product really sets the tone for what I need.
Take it from these guys. If you're a male 30 and older, and you want to naturally lean up and replenish your energy and stamina, get to Complete Nutrition and recharge with a Charger Pack.
Complete Nutrition is located in Kearney at 41st and 2nd Avenue, north of Sun Mart. 338-1-FIT. That's 338-1348. Or CompleteNutrition.com.
Complete Nutrition.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
When I told my buddies my starting quarterback in my fantasy league was going to be Matt Schaub, they all laughed. Well, me and my buddies went to Cunningham's Journal like we do every week, practically the ultimate place for sports fans. You can catch all your players on one of their bajillion screens. Husker football every week, awesome food and drink specials, and the beer's so cold. Anyways, we're watching the game on the 10-foot screen. There was Matt Schaub tearing it up, threw for 3 touchdowns, even ran for one. And guess who's laughing now? So sports fans, there's only one place to be time and time again. That's Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
For generations, Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products have been supplying Kearney, Grand Island, and Hastings with quality concrete and masonry needs. We're the experts on masonry and concrete products in the region with over 140 years of combined experience at our two locations. We're particular about who we deal with and what products we sell. With a high level of customer service at both locations, Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
The talk will be of Okie State and Mizzou, of Taylor Martinez, and a suspect run defense. John Callahan has done some talking of his own with Husker players and coaches, and you can listen in at the next Central Nebraska ESPN Radio Superstation Big Red Lunch, Wednesday, Cunningham's Journal. Come have lunch with us at noon, live Doug and Daddy at 11, brought to you by Home Federal Bank, Complete Nutrition, and Midas.
A wind advisory is in effect for our area today, and then again a wind advisory is in effect for Wednesday, as we'll see a mix of clouds and sun throughout the day with a high around 60, with west winds of 15 to 30. Back to 33 for a low tonight. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 52.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, where our guests are fed by the fine folks at Burger King. Join the breakfast revolution at BK with the ultimate breakfast platter, eggs, sausage, pancakes, hash browns, and a fresh baked biscuit. Top it off with some of Seattle's best coffee, freshly brewed, and breakfast is served daily until 11 a.m. at their two locations in Kearney, next to Walmart, 56th Street and 2nd Avenue, and near Kearney Cinema, 8th Street and 3rd Avenue, also in Lexington, Cozad, and North Platte. Well, Nebraska gets their second straight crack at an undefeated team. They're hoping for the same result. Missouri right now might be the Big 12's best chance for a team to play in the national championship, as they are in the top 10 in both polls and the BCS, 7-0, and for the second straight time, they come to Memorial Stadium ranked in the top 10. That wasn't always the case, and they have the bugaboo of not winning in Lincoln for 30-plus years off their back, because obviously they did that last time they came in, just destroying the Huskers. And as always, from PowerMizzou.com, we get the very latest. Gabe DeArmond joins us this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show. Gabe, good morning. Thanks for giving us the time again. How are you?
No problem. What's going on, guys?
Well, we're trying to survive, and we're a team that lost to a team that lost to Iowa State. So we're trying to get through that here. But Missouri looked pretty darn good. You guys looked pretty darn good on Saturday. Let me ask you up front here. Is this the best Missouri team you've seen?
I thought Gary Pinkel put it pretty well yesterday. I don't know if it's the best team. I think it's the most complete team. The offense isn't as good as it was with Daniel and Macklin and Kaufman and Temple. But the defense is much better than anything Chase Daniel had around him. The special teams from the kicker who finally this year has actually missed a couple kicks, to the punters who consistently are putting the ball inside the 10-yard line, to even now the return game. The opening kickoff against Oklahoma have helped out. So I think it's the most complete team, which I guess if you want to take that to mean the best team, I think it's in the conversation. But I think they've got a little bit to prove here before you can anoint them the best team Missouri's had.
Gabe, but before we talk about that defense and why it's better, how about the atmosphere in the stadium Saturday when Missouri's able to run the opening kickback? It seems like special teams has been scoring more, it seems like, this year than we've seen in the past. That takes a lot of pressure off, gives Missouri the lead. Did it change the way everybody felt just 15 seconds into the game?
I think what it did was, I walked into that stadium and kind of looked around and had taken my son down to game day earlier in the morning, and the whole atmosphere kind of reminded me of that Nebraska game in 07 where everybody was decked out in gold, and just the energy in the stadium, you kind of thought, well, if they're not going to win this game now, then when are they going to win it? The difference was, Missouri had beaten Nebraska at that point, so I think a lot of fans went into that Nebraska game expecting for Missouri to win. I think a lot of fans went into this game hoping Missouri could win, and that opening kickoff really kind of turned the tide, and that crowd really didn't quiet down the whole night. But the more impressive thing to me about Missouri was, they gave that momentum back within 2 minutes when they fumbled the punt. Oklahoma goes down and scores, and it was that Missouri took some punches from Oklahoma, and I know there's been a lot of talk about Oklahoma giving that game away with mistakes, but if you watch the game, Missouri made a lot of mistakes too. Missouri did not play an A football game. They left a lot of points on the field, and the fact that they were still able to beat Oklahoma, not playing their best game, was probably the most impressive thing to me.
Gabe DeArmond joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show from PowerMizzou.com. A daddy on the road to Dallas to kick Jerry Jones' ass right now, so that's why he's not in studio today, Gabe. But he wants to know also, as we got ready to talk to you, what does Missouri, what are they still concerned with? What part of their game needs help?
Well, right now, coming off that game, I don't know if there's anything that you point to and say, wow, this is a place where Missouri can really be exploited. I think what has made this Missouri team good is they may not be great at any one thing, but I think they're pretty good at everything. I guess you could say what would concern you going into the Nebraska game would be losing your starting nose tackle at a position that was already somewhat thin. Defensive tackle is not a place where Missouri was deep. So will they be able to hold up against the running game? But by the same token, they lost Dominique Hamilton, I think, mid-second quarter in that game. And Oklahoma, which is a team that, you know, they don't run like Nebraska, but they were running for 155 yards a game. DeMarco Murray was averaging like 116. Roy Finch had 92 last week, and I think is probably the best running back Oklahoma has. And the Sooners really didn't do much on the ground against Missouri.
Gabe, why is the defense better? Is it the coaching? Is it the players? Or what has brought them together?
Well, I think it's a big scheme. I mean, first of all, Missouri had a lot of guys back from last year. And, you know, like Tinkle has said a number of times this year, having guys back doesn't do any good if they're not good players. And then players who get better. You know, in the past we've seen Sean Weatherspoon was better as a junior than as a senior. So was William Moore. So was, going back further, David Overstreet. Guys like that haven't made that leap. Some of Missouri's players have made that leap. Xavier Gooden, Andrew Gatchkar, Carl Geddes, Kevin Rutland, Jarrell Harrison, they're all playing the best football they've ever played. Terrell Rosano, Jaquie Smith, they're all better than they were a year ago, and that's a big part. But the biggest part is the scheme. And Dave Steckel didn't really get to coach defense the way he wanted to last year. I mean, he's an ex-Marine. He's a fiery, really intense, aggressive guy. And he wants to play an attacking defense. He's done that this year. I mean, there were a lot of times against Texas A&M 2 weeks ago where Missouri was bringing six, seven, eight guys and just telling their defensive backs, you're going to have to stick with these receivers man-on-man downfield. And Missouri did it. I mean, Kip Edwards, their third corner, was locked up against Jeff Fuller, who I think a lot of people would say is either the best or the second-best wide receiver in the Big 12. And Fuller only had 11 yards receiving going into the fourth quarter. So, you know, I think the defensive backfield has been the big difference. Missouri is playing a lot more man coverage, and they're doing it pretty well, and that allows you to bring five, six, seven guys on a blitz and not be scared that you're going to give up a 75-yard touchdown pass.
Gabe Darman of PowerMizzou.com joins us here for another couple minutes on the Doug and Daddy Show. These guys really can get into the backfield. They lead the conference in sacks. They're in the top 10 of the nation in that category. Both teams seem to shut down the pass pretty darn good. This would appear to be the second-best defense Nebraska has faced behind Texas, and we'll let the rest of the year play out to see if it might not be the best. But how do they handle Taylor Martinez, as Coach talked about that?
Well, I mean, obviously that's the huge question. I mean, Martinez is – he's unlike any quarterback probably that Missouri has ever seen, at least in the last few years. I mean, his pure speed is, I think, better than anybody – that Missouri has faced. I think what you have to do is obviously, I mean, you have to sell out to stop that running game. The defensive ends have to contain. I think you have to use a spy on Martinez. And then you take your chances, like Oklahoma State did, and make him prove he can beat you through the air. Now, he certainly did that to Oklahoma State, deserves credit for doing it. It is my opinion that Missouri's defensive backs are quite a bit better than Oklahoma State's. I think that's why Texas probably had success, and I didn't get to watch a ton of that game because I was in College Station, but you take away the run game, and Texas has the athletes in the secondary, and I understand Nebraska dropped a ton of balls in that game as well, but Texas has the athletes in the secondary to contain the receivers a lot of times one-on-one, and that's going to be the big question. I mean, you can't go into this game and allow Taylor Martinez to beat you by running for 200 yards like he did Kansas State. You have to force him to win the game throwing the football, and if he does it, you tip your cap and you say, fantastic job, and you take your licking and move on. But I think Missouri would be much – and they're not obviously going to be happy with any loss, but you'd rather lose to Nebraska with Martinez throwing for 250 and three touchdowns than running for 250 and three touchdowns.
Well, you look at this, if Missouri, I mean, the winner's going to have the driver's seat to go to the championship game, but if Missouri wins it, they're 8-0. Texas Tech, K-State, Iowa State, Kansas, you guys will have been past the juggernauts on your schedule, especially in the conference. Is this a team that can, you know, get back to possibly a BCS national championship game?
I think if they win on Saturday, absolutely. I mean, they will be at least touchdown, probably double-digit favorites in their final four games. The only reason they wouldn't be is the games against Tech and Iowa State are on the road. But, I mean, if Missouri wins on Saturday, then you wake up Sunday morning, the Big 12 North is over. I mean, it's barring just an epic collapse, the North is over. If Missouri loses, you know, certainly Nebraska in the driver's seat, but they would still be in a situation where they're going to have to win out to go ahead and win it. So I think just from purely, you know, the division playing in the Big 12 title game, the game is much more important for Nebraska because Missouri, there are ways they could lose this game and still win the division. Nebraska loses this game, the division is pretty much out the window. But Missouri's obviously got a lot of things out there. I mean, you know, you're talking about a BCS national title game. They would need a little bit of help. I think they'd need either Oregon or Auburn to lose, and they might need Michigan State to lose. But if they win this game, they're certainly in position. I think they probably could jump TCU and Boise State as maybe as soon as this weekend if they go up and beat Nebraska.
So what do you think happens, Gabe? I know it's only Tuesday, but your thoughts on Saturday's ballgame?
Yeah, you know, it's I could see this going a number of ways. I have seen Missouri's defense. I think their secondary is good enough to be the difference in this game. I would not have said 2 weeks ago that Missouri would come up to Lincoln and win. I know that I will be accused, you know, if you want to take the phone calls you get after this and send them to me. I know I will be accused of some not so nice things. But I think this Missouri team's just got something that it hasn't had in a long time. I think Missouri's going to come up and get a win, and I don't think it's going to be easy, but I think they're going to win by 7 to 10 points.
Well, Gabe, we always appreciate you giving us some time on the Doug and Daddy Show. We look forward to a great game Saturday. We'll see you in Lincoln.
Sounds good, guys. I'm looking forward to my last trip, and I got to tell you, I didn't know if I'd feel this way. I'm bummed out this is the last time. This has turned into a good rivalry. This is the big game on the schedule every year, and it's too bad from the perspective down here that we won't be seeing Nebraska anymore.
I'll tell you what, that is another thing to look at, and no one would ever thought Missouri would be sad about not playing Nebraska. So.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it.
Gabe, take care. We'll see you Saturday. Gabe Darman of PowerMizzou.com joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Bo Pelini will be coming up live from Lincoln here in just a few minutes with the press conference. But we roll on because we want to talk about another guy that has, well, he's almost coached as many games at Memorial Stadium as Bo Pelini has. Randy Hubert, the head football coach at Aurora, and he's going to get to do it again in the Shrine Bowl coming up next June. But right now he's focused on his Aurora kids trying to make it 3 in a row in Class B, and he joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, good morning and congratulations on another great season so far.
Hey, I really appreciate that, and I appreciate the opportunity to be on the show.
Well, let's start first with the Shrine Bowl. I mean, every time we get the chance to talk to a coach, whether he's a head coach or an assistant coach, and obviously you have to be an assistant before you're named a head coach, it's a special feeling. And when did you find out about it, and what was your thoughts when they said, hey, would you like to run this group of young men that's the best in the state?
Well, I found out about it probably about a month ago, and I was just very honored when I got the call from Steve Nelson, and you know, it's a real privilege to work in a game of that caliber and work with all the athletes and all the people involved in that organization.
Friday night, you guys start on another trek towards a Memorial Stadium, and this one looks like it's going to be every bit as tough as what we've seen in the past, and I think a lot of people think the West is just going to be a monstrous row. Before we break down that, what's the difference between your football team this year, outside of the Andrew Rodriguez factor, and what you've had the last couple seasons?
Well, we don't have the size that we've had the past couple years in our line. That is the difference. We probably are a little more athletic in our line, and we're probably a little more balanced in the run pass. I think we're probably passing the ball more than we normally do, but what we've found out is we've had some success with that, and we got some good people that are in those positions.
You played Hastings earlier in the season, and Hastings really, after a rough start, put together a run, but the only team to beat him in that run was you, and you handled him pretty easily. The playoffs can always be a different situation, but what did you do so well against Hastings the first time that you hope to duplicate on Friday?
Well, I'll tell you, Coach Rebarger does a great job with his kids. He gets a lot out of them, and they're always well-coached and well-prepared. You know, we were pleased. We really came out with a lot of energy in that game and had a great start, and we just kind of kept the hammer down in that game, and we're fortunate to have some good things happen for us. We got a turnover early that really set the tone for that game. So what we're going to try to do is, you know, we're going to try to improve. We look at this as a new season for us, and we got to come out of the gates ready to roll and play good football, because we want to be peeking out during the playoffs.
And, of course, Coach Rebarger is going to be one of your assistants, so this has got to be treading water a little lightly on Friday, doesn't it?
Yeah. Rick and I, you know, we emailed each other already, but, you know, we have a lot of respect for each other, and, you know, it's just going to be a very good high school football game come Friday.
One game at a time, I understand, but if you guys want to get back to your goal, you're going to see either a McCook or an Adams Central team who's just playing good football. Crete is waiting on the other side. What about the way the bracket sets up this year?
Well, I think the West has definitely got some very good football teams. You know, there are some good ones on the East as well, but, you know, you look at McCook and Adams Central, and they're both very physical, ground-oriented football teams that play very good defense. So, you know, those guys are going to be a test no matter who comes out of that. And, of course, Crete is a big and physical football team and that's been having a great year. So, yeah, just a lot of good football on the West.
Randy Hubert, the head football coach at Aurora, joins us here for just another minute on the Doug and Daddy Show, and then we'll head to Lincoln for Bo Pelini's press conference. Coach, what's it like now that the expectations are so high for these kids that have been there? Obviously, I'm guessing that anything short of getting back to Memorial Stadium is going to be a downer, especially when you're 9-0.
Well, you know, we're very fortunate to have some very good leaders on our team with, you know, some very good experience on our team. You know, Tyson Brockmeyer, Jacob Schaefer, Garrett Johns, and then Kyle McCarthy, our linebacker. You know, with those fellas, you know, they're very focused and set a good example for the team and encourage the team. And we don't have a lot of time to think about, you know, what is going on in the future. We're always working on what's at hand, the game at hand. And, you know, we have high expectations here at Aurora, but that's a great place to be when you're in that kind of situation. So we're just having fun and working hard and trying to do the best we can.
And, Coach, finally, from the fans' perspective out there, you and Crete had the exact same point total. What did the which tiebreaker did it come down to as far as who was the one seed and who was the two seed?
I think it was they had more teams on their schedule that had the highest winning percentage.
More Division One. Okay.
Yep, that's what it was. So,
well, Friday night
came out.
Friday night, you guys welcome in Hastings, and I know that they're looking to put up a better showing than the last time around, but it looks like the Huskies and your crew has done such a great job here over the past few years. Keep up the good work, and we'll see if you can motor on towards Lincoln once again. And again, congratulations on the Shrine Coach announcement. Best of luck with that as well.
Well, it's a real privilege to be on the show, and we appreciate what you guys do for sports.
Thanks, Randy. We'll talk to you soon. Randy Hubert, head football coach at Aurora, always appreciate his time. They've won the state championship the last 2 years. Troutman's Tuesday trivia coming up on the program as we wait for Bo Pelini's press conference here from Lincoln. He'll be bringing that to us in just a minute. So let's try and squeeze in one final break. And when we come back, it's Bo Pelini from Lincoln.
Know why most shoe stores never bother to measure your feet? Too much work. Know why they don't offer different widths? Too much work. Know why they don't ask about your work? Too much work. Think you can say installing that last bridge span or torquing the bolts on a jet engine is too much work? Didn't think so. At a Red Wing shoe store, we know your feet and your work, because Red Wing boots are purpose-built for the exact work you do. Red Wing shoes. Work is our work.
This is the sound of a Yellow Book print ad working for Rincon Vista Veterinary Center. And Yellow Book search engine marketing working for their business. Next. And a YellowBook.com online video ad running smoothly. The thing is, with Yellow Book's full spectrum of marketing tools, small businesses like Rincon Vista Veterinary Center can hear the sound of success. Yellow Book 360. Go beyond yellow. Call 1-800-YB-YELLOW or visit YellowBook360.com today.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Frederick and his decades of experience in problem solving, heading up the Mead team. Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
ESPN
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. When it comes to keeping it simple, having your auto and home insured by the same company just makes sense. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, we make it easy to combine and save. And you pay only one deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence if you have a loss. To learn more, call Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney at 234-4922. 234-4922. Farm Bureau makes insurance simple. Call them at 234-4922. Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
A wind advisory is in effect for area today, and then again a wind advisory is in effect for Wednesday, as we'll see a mix of clouds and sun throughout the day with a high around 60, with west winds of 15 to 30, back to 33 for a low tonight. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 52. Lost in this
Second Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Daddy's on his way to Dallas to kick some cowboy butt and see what's going on down there. Bo Pelini hoping that his team can kick some Missouri butt. We want to thank Gabe Darman from PowerMizzou.com for joining us in the last segment and breaking things down. Randy Hubert, head football coach at Aurora. When you're talking football, watching the World Series, whatever it is, hanging out with your friends and enjoying a good time, do it at the Chicken Coop, downtown Kearney and Grand Island. Lunch specials every single day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and yes, Sunday. They are open for you. The NFL package, the college football package, the World Series is up. The NBA begins tonight. You can watch the NBA if you love that. Whatever the sports world is, watch horse racing, watch NASCAR, watch, you know, whatever. Sprint Cup, dragsters, you want it on. If it's on TV, they'll get it for you. And there's great food and drink specials every night. And of course, on Tuesdays in Kearney, they have from 5 to 10 their chicken wing night for 40 cents. Big Daddy chicken wings, larger than ever, just 40 cents. Choose from any of their 13 wing flavors every Monday from 5 to 10 at the Chicken Coop. Let's go to Lincoln.
Coach, in what ways have you seen Gabbert improve from last year to this year?
He's a good decision maker, makes good throws, good quarterback. And he does a good, really good job. He's a good, really good football player. And obviously, you just get more experience, you're going to get better. That was short. We done?
What are your general thoughts on Missouri right now?
Good football team. Well coached. Execute well on both sides of the football and in special teams. They bring a big challenge here. They're a good football team.
Is their offense any similar to Oklahoma State's explosive wise?
There are some similarities. There are some differences.
Well, looking at Missouri, maybe what are one or two things that concern you the most about the football team?
One or two things? We just need to execute our football. We need to take care of ourselves and I like our game plan, and we need to execute. It comes down to execution. It's not as much about Missouri; it's about us. I think they would say the same thing.
Well, we just talk about what this game means to the North. Obviously, whoever wins this game is going to be in the driver's seat since they're in the North here.
Yeah, it's the next game. It's a big football game, I mean, to me, I think they're all big. You get to this point of the season, I mean, you got to win. You got to, you know, you have, it's a great challenge. And obviously, there's some things at stake. But all those things, you can pile all those things up on top. It comes down to execution and playing football. And the team that makes the most plays is going to win the football game. For a team that executes the best.
Did you figure out anything from your analysis of preparation for home games? You mentioned that you're going to be doing that a little bit. Did you find some things that need to be tweaked?
We're going to do a couple things a little bit differently, see how it works out.
Like what?
Like, I'm not going to talk about it.
Is that something, though, that you've talked in the past when you make a big deal about it, it becomes a big deal and it's still football,
whatever. Yeah, it comes down to whatever you got to do whatever you can do to make your kids, give them what you feel is the best opportunity to have the focus necessary to execute their football. And that's always the key as a coach, to try and, it's not about us as coaches, it's about the kids and limit as many distractions as you can and make sure, enable them to have the focus necessary to execute and play well.
Are you expecting Pierre Allen back today or soon?
Yeah. I think Pierre's going to be just fine.
Bo, can you talk about the progress you've seen on that progress or lack thereof? What kind of things are you seeing from that front four defensively as you guys get into the second half of the season?
I thought our front four played well last week. Played real well, and we got off blocks. Thought Crick played really well. Obviously they weren't perfect. We made some mistakes, but I saw some progress last week.
How much of the role in stopping the run? How much of the burden do those four guys carry? I mean, I know you say it's a. Your coaches say it's an 11-man thing, but how much of the responsibility in stopping the run falls specifically on those four guys?
It's a team game, especially the way we play it, and everybody's got to fit their responsibilities. And, you look at every play, and it's a little bit different. The thing that was most disappointing was the thing, we had some layups that we missed. Just bad fits and obviously a couple missed tackles. And I think there are a number of reasons why that happened, but I don't think it was many of those things were well outside of the front four. And like I said, I thought some of it was, I'm not looking to make an excuse, but I was down there was the tempo, I played some teams that go fast. They went really fast and I think our guys, it's just hard to simulate that in practice. I talked a little bit about that after the game, and it's hard to simulate. And I thought once our guys settled down, I thought we played a lot better football. I thought we played pretty good on the second half defensively. To be honest with you, we didn't really do much different than we did in the first half. We just executed better. Our guys were more settled down into the situation, and they became more comfortable with the tempo and that style as the game went on. And it's all part of the process, part of the learning experience for them. Especially for a couple of the guys that hadn't been in that situation before.
Do you see that kind of tempo? Does Missouri speed things up like that?
I mean, there's a difference between speeding it up. Those guys went really fast and were changing personnel fast. So at times I didn't handle it as well as I needed to. Like I said, as the game went on, and you couple that with they had a couple underthrown balls where we could have made plays on something. We left some things out there that we just didn't make plays in a couple instances, and more power to them. They made some plays.
It looked like you kind of had to revisit that issue of making sure the officials gave you guys the amount of time you needed to sub when you.
Yeah, and I think they meant to do that. But when you don't see them standing over, I think they corrected it. That helped us because when they weren't standing over the ball, you don't know whether they're going to snap the football. And they said, we weren't going to let the play go. Well, sure helps everybody involved if you see the guy standing over the ball and you know you're on the same page with them. And I thought that got corrected. That helped. Obviously it helped us settle down a little bit. Because then from my standpoint, from sending in a personnel or making a play call, you have a better understanding of how much time you got. Otherwise, it's, you know, you're looking out there and you don't see anybody over the football. You're not sure if that ball's going to get snapped or not. You're not sure if they're on the same page that you are, that they're going to give you that time. And once again, I just thought the communication, you know, we communicated with them and they handled it the way you expect them to.
Can you have an opponent coming off such a high-profile win that Missouri had last week? How much can you look at that game and maybe use it?
Well, we look at everything that they've done. And we don't look at that game any differently than we have all the other ones. But, you know, they played well last weekend. They're a good football team.
What element is added when you play an undefeated team? Obviously, Oklahoma State.
There's no different element. I mean, it doesn't matter what their record is or anything else. You got to play and you got to execute. And you got to, you know, like I said, our philosophy is take care of ourselves. You know, execute the game plan that we set out. Play the way you've been coached to play. And that's kind of how we go about it.
Is Oklahoma State's tempo something maybe you want to see out of your offense at times?
I'm not getting into Oklahoma State's tempo anymore and how that relates to us or our offense or anything else. That's irrelevant.
Well, you said before the season that you thought that this defense could be better than a year ago. I know that Missouri last year kind of was a watershed game where you kind of thought maybe you guys turned the corner and really stepped in the rest of the way. Are you seeing signs then at this point that maybe you guys are ready to do that again?
Yeah, I think we're, you know, like, really, like really across the board, we're still a little bit of a work in progress. But we are. I mean, I think you always are. I mean, I shouldn't, you know, act like that's something different. I'm seeing us improve in some areas. I'm seeing some areas improve. I'm seeing some areas, obviously, we need to clean up. And you know, compared us to where we were last year, you know, we weren't perfect last year by any means. We got better as the year went on. I'm seeing us make some improvement in a number of areas, and you know, in some areas I want to see more improvement, get better a little bit quicker. You know, comparison to where we were last year, I don't know. I mean, well, I know we're gonna have to play well Saturday, and really in all our phases, and keep getting better. If we keep getting better, then we can meet the challenges that lie ahead. If we don't, then you know, it becomes tougher. You know, you gotta look at the film every day, practice wise, game wise, and look at it from a, you know, very black and white perspective, and be honest with yourself as coaches and players, and make adjustments and correct the things that need corrected. To do that gives you a good opportunity to keep moving forward.
Did you or your assistants have to do much work with Prince to pick him up a little bit this week?
No, you know, Prince, you know, obviously, the flea flicker, Prince was supposed to have help. I mean, that really wasn't his play. I mean, he almost made a great play on it. But the other ball was underthrown, and the guy kind of pushed him by. Good play by him. You know, Prince was in good position. He just, a couple times guys make plays. When you play the way Prince does, and you're aggressive and you attack routes, there isn't a corner that's ever played. And I was around Dion. I was around some great corners in the NFL. They all get beat. There's no one that's invincible. And, you know, Prince is the same guy. He's a heck of a corner. I wouldn't trade him. I wouldn't trade our corners for anybody in the country. But he's going to get beat sometimes. He's going to give up some plays every now and then. I mean, it's been remarkable the type of football he's played and how few times he's given up plays, especially as many times as we put him in man covered situations and you know, guy's a heck of a football player.
Have a chance. If he was feeling bad, he gets plenty of opportunity this week to redeem, doesn't he? I mean, he gets the team.
I don't think, I thought what really showed what Prince is all about is how he played in the second half. I mean, he played really well in the second half. And to be honest with you, I didn't think he played bad in the first half. He had a couple bad things happen to him. That's sports. That's life out on the corner. And those are all part of a learning experience for him. And I think he'll be better going forward because of it. Let's face it, he hasn't had to fight that type of adversity. I've coached secondary for a long time, and I've played the secondary. You know, you're going to get beat, and it's not a matter of which, it's what you do after you get beat. Can you get back out there and not be gun-shy? And he wasn't gun-shy at all. He was ready to go. And because if he hadn't, we would probably wouldn't have won that football game. He played really well in the second half.
Coach, what can you say about Alexander?
What can you say? I mean, he, you know, like I said, he's tremendous. And just keeps doing it. Which, I don't know if this is wood, but I want to knock on it because...
Were you a little scared when he made that cut inside and tried to get extra yardage?
After the fact, actually for a minute there, I thought he was going to score. But after the fact, I thought about it. I told him yesterday, I said, next time you, if that ever happens again, you get your butt down. He said, I thought about it when I was going over the middle. That's what he told me yesterday.
With all that he can do in all facets of that of special teams, how valuable is he to your team?
He's huge. He's a huge part of our football team, and he has been for the last, whatever, this is his senior year, 3 years I've been here, and I'm sure the, his first year, too. I mean, the guy is steady as can be.
Does he give you maybe a different appreciation of kickers? Because I know kickers can sometimes get the reputation of being just a, you know, an auxiliary part of the team, but he seems to bring a mentality that you really appreciate.
Well, I've never looked at kickers as an auxiliary part of the team because I've won and lost a lot of football games as a coach and a player based on a kicker's foot. So, you know. It's an important job, and believe me, we feel very fortunate to have a guy like him in that position.
Is he self-coached when it comes to correcting any?
I coach him.
Okay. when he runs into a
I got it. The only problem we have is I'm a left-footed kicker, and you know, I've coached him. I promise you. He's had help and things, but. You know, but he's pretty much self-coached. You know, I mean, there's no one. I think he has a better understanding of who he is and what he is. I just tell him whether they hit a draw or, you know, hit a straight ball. I liken it to golf, and he likes that. So, say just start that thing a little bit right and just hit a little draw, just like a 9-iron. And
does that surprise you that in college football that guys again you mentioned that. Win and lose, so many games are determined by the foot of a kicker, that they're really out there on their own to correct any flaws that they may encounter.
Yeah, I mean, like Coach JP, he has John Papuchis, who coaches our special teams, he has a pretty good understanding of the kicking game. And our GA, actually, Kurt Baldus. Those guys, you know, obviously they have more expertise, more knowledge in that area than I do. You know, we've been fortunate around here that we've had kickers like the Browns and people around here who have kicked in the NFL who have been around here working out in the off season, some they might kick together, and all those things you know help a guy. And the more input you get, the more knowledge you get, the better you get. He just I don't know how technical Alex is. I just think he just says, I'm gonna go out and make it. And he's an unusual guy. Pretty special guy.
I think people learned a lot about his fortitude, you know, that Colorado game in 2008.
I learned a lot about his fortitude at that Colorado game in 2008.
Do you ever think back on that and your exchange on the sideline with him?
Oh, yeah. You know, but you know what? The exchange is, what I really learned about him was in a situation like that, he was had the same ho-hum attitude that he always has. And, he's really calm, and he has a really good knack for, directing his focus and being calm and just going out there and approaching every situation the same way. And there's not a lot of people who can do that. And, he's just one of those guys.
He didn't tell you right away he was going to
make up? No, at first he kind of went, I don't, and I was like, uh-oh, well, who's next? And he came walking up to me and said, I got it. And I said, okay, go.
Hey, Coach, how big of a step did Martinez take for you guys last week in that game?
Well, I think every step he takes, I think, you know, I'm sure you're going to talk to Watts here pretty soon, and I know Watts would agree that every step he takes when you're only seven games in as a quarterback, every step you take is important. And that was just the next one. And he showed us. He showed everybody else what he's capable of. We see it every day in practice. And he's getting better. He's improving. But he needs to continue to do so. And, we keep stressing to him, Watts does, of getting into the details and staying in the details, letting the offense come to him, execute the offense, all those things, and he's slowly but surely he's getting better, which is a great thing. I think that his potential, he's not even close to what he's going to be in the future, which is pretty exciting to me.
Did you see something happen with him from a confidence standpoint at the end of the first half that maybe got him into a zone passing the ball that he hadn't been this year?
He hasn't had a lot of opportunities like that. I thought he executed well. Like I said, I think all those things play a part as you move forward. The more situations he's in, the more situations he has success in, absolutely some of the situations he has failure in, all those things are going to play a part in his development. And I just think that's one of them. I think what happened in the Texas game, you just look at all the different situations he's in, and the guy just, he keeps a good perspective on it, he keeps learning, and he's working hard at it. And the more experience he gets, I think the better he'll get.
He's about to be, I think, the third guy in college football history as a freshman to go 1,000-1,000, and he's only played seven games. Does it seem like he's played that well? Because or do the statistics maybe not tell the right story there?
He's done some really good things. But like I said, I think what the statistics don't show is all the things that he needs to keep working on to keep getting better and to keep his progress going in the right direction. And I think that'll happen. And he's, I know this, he's better quarterback now than he was week one. And he keeps getting better, and I think that'll keep happening. He's developing well, and he's developing at a good pace.
Does he make you nervous when he goes those last second laterals to Miles and he's about to go down?
No. Sometimes. It's got a little far in him. I've been around that before.
Well, back to Alex. Since that Colorado game where you asked him what he thought if he could make that kick, how many times have you asked him before a kick if he thought he could make it?
I haven't. We have a pretty good idea what his range is. So
52 yards, you don't even bat an eye?
No. The only time you ask him, the only time I ask him is if there's wind involved. And if there's wind involved, he's a guy that, he's going to look you in the face and tell you. He's not going to tell you what you want to hear. He's going to tell you he's going to tell you the truth, what he thinks. And I'm not going to put him in a situation where, there's a big hard wind. I'm not going to put him out there for a 55-yarder and set him up to fail. That doesn't make any sense. And, we have great, good communication as far as that's concerned.
Anything else?
Thanks.
And that is Nebraska football coach Bo Pelini in his weekly press conference getting ready for Missouri. There wasn't a lot of talk about last week, so to speak, because it had all kind of been hashed out, I think, since then. And a lot of talk about what Missouri's doing. And, of course, then it gets into the Alex Henry Love Fest, which is good. Getting back into those questions about Taylor Martinez, which is now becoming a little bit redundant for the coach, but again saying, we know he can do this, he's growing, he's saying what we've said on this show many times, is that if you're going to play a redshirt freshman quarterback, you've got to expect some growing pains. We've seen that, but we've also seen the greatness that this young man has put on the field. We've got a lot more coming up. Don't forget, if you're if you're really fired up about the Huskers or just kind of fired up, we'd love to have you tomorrow at Cunningham's. It is our Husker lunch because we will be there with Sean Callahan to break down last week's game against Oklahoma State, talk about Missouri, answer all these questions. If you've got questions, that's why we're there. Got great lunch specials. I mean, what was it? It's like $5, and you get brisket, you get prime rib sandwich, you get chicken, you get whatever they got brisket. It's outstanding with the two sides, plus you talk Husker football. The Doug and Daddy Show from 11 to 12 tomorrow, then Sean Callahan from Huskers Illustrated will be on hand. We had a great crowd at Cunningham's in Kearney a couple of weeks ago. We invite you all to come back out. Tell your friends, mark it down right now so for tomorrow at lunch, you know, noon or just a little bit before, come in, order. We'll have you back to work by 1. You can take off if it's a quarter to 1. You need to get out of there. Fine. 12:30, fine. We'd love to have you. No cost to come in. You just have lunch, and you enjoy some Husker football talk with Sean Callahan tomorrow at Cunningham's. When we come back, Troutman's Tuesday Trivia and a couple more comments on what Bo had to say. If you've got a comment on what the coach had to say, give us a call. Give us an email. We'll be right back.
When you're ready to plan something great, at Wells Fargo, we're with you. That's why we've created My Savings Plan, an online tool that comes free with a Wells Fargo savings account. With My Savings Plan, you can plan, set, and monitor your savings goals. You can also set up automatic transfers from your Wells Fargo checking account into your savings account. So plan your way to a brighter tomorrow. Call, click, or stop by today and talk with a Wells Fargo banker about My Savings Plan. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
You know what 2:30 in the afternoon feels like, right? You're sleepy, groggy, so you run for the coffee, grab a soda. But how long does that last before you're back for more? Try this instead. Take 1 5-hour energy, then see what the rest of your day feels like. It sure won't feel like 2:30 anymore. 5-hour energy. Hours of energy now. No 2:30 feeling later. Individual results may vary. In a clinical trial, 5-hour energy significantly outperformed placebo in continuity of attention and self-related alertness. Neither 5-hour energy nor placebo affected blood sugar or mood. See 5hourenergy.com for more information.
Nothing gets the heart pumping more than pulling in a Master Angler bass or standing 20 yards away from a huge buck or even a boat full of college girls sitting in your new boat. But it all starts at the Boathouse in Grand Island. From live bait lures and boats to hunting decoys, scents, calls, and blinds, the Boathouse offers you the supplies to be successful this season. And don't forget, ask Tim about winterizing your boat. Stop into the Boathouse today, North Highway 281 in Grand Island, where the fun season never ends.
When you save 10% on the stuff that you bought, that's at Builders.
Hi, this is Scott from Builders, here to announce our all-new Senior Citizens Day every Tuesday at Builders in Kearney. If you're 65 or over, you qualify for a 10% discount on any in-stock items at Builders. That's every Tuesday, where seniors save 10% at Builders in Kearney. See store for details.
Builders does it best.
A wind advisory is in effect for our area today, and then again a wind advisory is in effect for Wednesday. As we'll see a mix of clouds and sun throughout the day with a high around 60, with west winds of 15 to 30. Back to 33 for a low tonight. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 52.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, wrapping up a Tuesday edition with the Bo Pelini Press Conference. Tomorrow, the Husker Lunch, plus our Loper Link. We're going to talk a little bit about the Loper Volleyball team. Bob Jensen from Huskerland Prep Report is going to join us as well to break down the high school football playoffs. Going to talk hockey. Drew Schenick is set to join us as well this week. A lot more coming up. Friday, Kelsey Peterson is going to join us, Iowa State volleyball standout, of course, a Kearney High graduate. Coming up on Thursday, a little bit more on the Hastings College and Morningside matchup. Former UNK player and assistant Jay Christensen is the defensive coordinator at Morningside, and they have the number one defense in all of the NAIA. Yes, I know all of his buddies just chuckled a little bit, but we're going to have Jay on the show on Thursday. But right now, let's head out to Midway, where they're recovering from the 96-hour sale. Andy, are you alive, buddy?
Hey, we are still alive out here, and we're kicking. Still got a lot of great deals, but appreciate you taking some time out of your day and letting me come on here and tell you about the great deals we got going on.
Well, I'll tell you what, we've been talking about number one all day today on the program, whether it's NFL, and we know that not number one is Dallas, or whether it's, of course, college football, and we know who's number one there. What's the number one deal going on with you guys right now?
Well, I'll tell you what, right now it's got to be these half-ton trucks that we have. If you're talking Dodge, we have fantastic rebates up to $5,000, $5,500 in incentives. you know, we can go up as much as up to $7,000-$8,000 off. Then down here in the Chevy inventory, we got 2010 Chevrolet crew cabs, only a handful of them left, but we're talking also $6,000 in incentivized rebates too. So we're making these deals so enticing, it's going to be hard to say no.
It's the Midway Auto Group, and of course, it is Truck Month, and Truck Month, of course, will probably end October 31st.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, it's not going to be no ghosts or goblins or ghouls. I mean, it's just going to go ahead and stop. When you see everybody get dressed up in their costumes, you know it's over. So if you want to go ahead and you want to save a bunch of money, you want to get that vehicle before it goes away, make sure you come on and stop down and come say hi to your local sales representatives at Midway.
ThinkMidway.com for more information or to just get prepped before you go to the lot at ThinkMidway.com. Check it out. And, Andy, of course, there's no scary deals. All treats, no tricks here at the end of the month, buddy.
Excellent. Well, no, I appreciate you guys having me on here. And I'll tell you what, yeah, visit that website at www.thinkmidway.com or just stop on down the Jeep Chrysler Dodge store or Chevy Cadillac Buick store and challenge us to get you that next great deal.
Andy, outstanding. Glad you survived the 96-hour sale. We'll talk to you later in the week. Keep up the good work, buddy.
Hey, appreciate it. You guys have a great afternoon.
You bet. Andy and our friends at Midway Auto Group, thinkmidway.com for the very latest. Okay, here's the deal. It's time for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Here's the deal. Tony would say, here's the deal. This is the deal. Here's the deal. I've got a bunch of trivia questions, but I'm not really comfortable with any of them. Merritt, are you comfortable with any of them?
I don't think so.
I don't know. $25 gift card. We kind of threw out a fairly easy one last week, and I don't want to do that again this week. So I was going to make it a little tougher. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-ESPN. You can email us, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com is where you email us. But if you want to be on the show today and win a $25 gift card and you haven't won in the last 2 months, then you have to call because we're going to take your calls right now at 888-455-ESPN. It is Missouri week. The NBA season is underway. The World Series is starting tomorrow. We have got NBA action tonight between Boston and Miami. The World Series tomorrow, Giants and Rangers in Game 1. So who knows what the question will be about. Let's go to the phone lines, and who are we chatting with?
This is John.
John, here we go. It is Missouri week. All right, we all know that little pipsqueak Chase Daniel has thrown for more yards than anybody in Missouri Tiger history. Who is the all-time leading rusher at Missouri? Because this year they don't have anybody that's averaging more than 46 yards a game. Who's the leading rusher in the history of Missouri football?
Is it Brock Oliva?
No, Brock Oliva was third. Try back. Good guess. I would have never came up with that, ever. Let's go back to the phone lines at 888-455-ESPN. Who are we chatting with?
Ryan.
Let's give you a different question with Nebraska football here. Since 1970, Nebraska is far and away won more football games than any other Division I collegiate program. In fact, a win on Saturday would be their 400th win since 1970. Who has the second most wins in college football since 1970?
USC.
It is not USC. In fact, they're not in the top five. Thanks for the guess, though. Try back, 888-455-ESPN. I kind of like that one. Let's do it again. Who are we chatting with?
Jesse.
Jesse, hey, who has the second most collegiate football wins since 1970? Nebraska's one. Who's second?
Florida State?
No, Florida State also not in the top five. Keep trying. Call back. We might have a different question for you. I got to get closer over here. Let's go back to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
This is John again.
John, oh, buddy, who has the second most collegiate football wins since 1970?
It's a toss-up between, I'm going to say, Michigan.
Michigan is in the top five but is not correct. Fourth most wins since 1970. Try back, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Let's stay on the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
Joel.
Joel, do you know who has the second most wins in college football since 1970?
Miami,
not in the top five. Thanks for trying, though. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-ESPN. Who are we chatting with?
Rodney?
Rodney, let's give you a guess here. Who has the second most wins in Division I football since 1970? Nebraska's number one.
Texas?
Texas is incorrect. Also, not in the top five. A lot of good guesses, but nobody right so far. Let's stay on the phone lines at 888-455-ESPN. Who are we chatting with?
Scott.
Scott, do you know the answer? Who has the second most wins in college football since 1970?
I'll go with Oklahoma.
Oh, close. They are third. Try back. It is not Oklahoma. It is not Michigan. It is not USC. It is not Miami. It is not Texas. In fact, you'd probably be a little bit surprised here. Who has... Let me just read it. Nebraska easily ranks as the nation's winningest program since the start of the 70s, when Nebraska won back-to-back titles in 70 and 71. During that time, the Huskers are 399 wins, 101 losses, 5 ties. That's in 505 games, a 795 winning percentage. It's 25 more wins than who is in second. Let's go to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
This Wes.
Wes, do you know who has the second most wins in college football since 1970?
Is it Missouri?
It's not Missouri. I would like to know where Missouri even is on that list. They couldn't possibly be in the top 30, could they? Maybe they would be. I don't know. Back to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with? Troutman's Tuesday Trivia.
Eric.
Eric, do you know the answer? Second most college wins since 70.
Let's go with Ohio State.
Eric, that is correct. It is Ohio State. Congratulations. They have 374 wins. Oklahoma third with 370. Michigan fourth with 364. And Penn State fifth with 361 since 1970. By the way, Missouri's all-time leading rusher, quarterback Brad Smith, 4,289 yards. Eric, hold on the line. Merritt will get you hooked up for a $25 gift card from Troutman's Quality Meats. Thanks for listening and enjoy. Hang on the line. Oh, my. There you go. So much going on. I mean, I was going to go to the NBA, like, who was in the finals last year? You think they'd have got that right away?
I would hope so.
Lakers in Boston, right?
That's what it's about.
Is that okay? And you like the NBA?
Once it gets down to the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know, but a big game tonight. A lot of the guys on ESPN, a lot of the national people are starting to or have been picking against Miami. I don't know if they just don't think they have the talent or if they're just tired of the big three. But it all starts for LeBron James and company tonight in Boston, where they take on the defending Eastern Conference champions. It is Miami at Boston. Our pregame tonight is at 5:30. Tip-off is set for 6:30, and that is going to wrap things up on the Doug and Daddy Show. A couple of things while we get out of here on the program today. The Big 12 Conference announcing the Nebraska-Iowa State game televised. We're used to being on ABC, so it's a regionally televised game at 2:30 at Ames. Also, UNK Volleyball going on tonight. They play at Shadron State. Then their final two home games of the regular season, Friday and Saturday. Of course, they're hosting the conference tournament. Somebody voted UNK number one in the Division II coaches poll, but they hold on to the number nine spot. Wayne State is back in the number one spot, tied with Concordia St. Paul. The Nebraska volleyball team moved up a spot to number two in the country. A lot of volleyball going on tonight. It's really the last big night of high school volleyball this season. Sub-districts begin next week. I'll be over in Kennesaw, Blue Hill, and Axtell, both state rated for a triangular at 5 o'clock. And can you believe that Hastings College basketball begins this weekend? Talk more about that at the end of the week. The Hastings women start the season ranked 21st in the preseason. We want to thank Randy Hubert, Aurora head football coach, Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com for joining us on the show today. Tomorrow, Husker Lunch, Cunningham's. Love to see you there. We'll talk to you then.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.